Our 22nd study through the Bible brings us to Genesis chapter 17, verse 23. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, talking about servants, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. Abraham obeyed God immediately and completely. He didn't just circumcise some of his servants. He obeyed God completely. He, his 13-year-old son, Ishmael, and every male in his service were all circumcised. And believe me, that took faith. It took faith because Abraham was living in a hostile area, and there were plenty of bad people who didn't like him. It took faith because that operation meant that all his men would be unable to move, let alone fight, for several days. It took faith because Abraham and company are completely trusting God to protect them as God promised he would. You going to believe God when he says he'll protect you or not? If you do, you won't have any problems obeying him. You know, faith in God isn't a complicated thing. We obey God. We do what he tells us to do in the Bible, even if it's scary. We obey and trust that he will give us what he believes we need for as long as we need it. 24. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. So again, every single man in the house of Abraham was circumcised. God got very specific about Abraham's obedience, didn't he? He didn't leave anything out. God details the facts and records in his holy word that every single male in Abraham's household was circumcised. Like I said, their obedience took faith. So God made special mention of it. Our acts of faith, our obedience to the Word of God, will never be recorded in the Bible. But you can believe that God knows about them just as he knew about Abraham's complete obedience. And he appreciates them. God does. When we obey, we honor God. And the more difficult it is for us to obey, the more we honor him when we do it. Chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Abraham was sitting by his tent, like you might sit on your porch or on your deck. And then he looks up, and there were three strangers standing in front of him. Now, Abraham didn't see them walk in or ride in. They were just there. That was his first clue that there was something different about these men. Last part of verse 2. And when he saw him, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Abraham quickly greets these strangers. Abraham was concerned about showing hospitality. He was a godly man, and godliness and good manners go together. You know, if devotion to God is on the inside, then courtesy and good manners will be on the outside. Rudeness is not a personality problem. Rudeness is a spiritual problem. Verse 3. And said, Abraham said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. In other words, Abraham says, Do me a favor and let me serve you. Let me help you in some way. Opportunities to serve others are really opportunities to serve Christ. That's the way God sees it, and I hope that's the way we see it. God says that the more we serve others, the greater we are. Jesus said the one who serves the most is the greatest in the eyes of God. That's why opportunities to give, opportunities to serve, should not be avoided. They should be looked for. Verses 4 and 5. Abraham continues, Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, which will comfort your hearts. After that, you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as you have said. At the very least, helping those who need help is helping someone who God says has been created in his image and likeness, so it's important to God. It's at least that, but you know, it could be more than that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Abraham doesn't know it, but that's exactly what's going on here. Two of these men are angels, and one is God himself. Verse 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Abraham is running all over the place. He's giving them everything they need just as quickly as he possibly can. And I think Abraham is in a hurry for more than one reason. Notice he serves them their food, and then he stands there while they eat. He doesn't leave them be. He doesn't leave them alone. He stands there while they eat. I think Abraham is curious as to why these men are there and what they have to say. Verse 9. And they, and that would be the Lord and the angels, said unto him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. These men are not your average strangers. If Abraham didn't know that before, he knows it now. I will tell you that strangers would not enter a home and ask where a man's wife is. And not only that, But how did they know his wife's name? For that matter, how did he know he even had a wife? But how did he know her name? You know, this whole episode began strange, and it just keeps getting stranger all the time. Verse 10, "And he," the Lord, "said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life," meaning according to this time next year, "and lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." And no beating around the bush here, is there? God opens the conversation by telling Abraham that he will be returning next year, and by then his wife Sarah will have the baby God promised. The Lord God got right to the point of his visit. And one thing God never does in Scripture is engage in small talk. He really doesn't. God does not waste words. You know, the Bible actually warns us about the danger of talking too much. In general, it's better to speak fewer words and just make the words that we do speak count. That's what God does. He certainly did that here, didn't he? Verse 11, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age." Yeah, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. "And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." All of her life, Sarah has been unable to conceive. Now she is 90 and way beyond the age of childbearing. Conventional wisdom would say, there is no chance, absolutely no chance in the world that Sarah could possibly have a baby. It can't happen. Well, you know, that's probably why God waited until now to give her a baby. God waited until it was impossible before he did it so that everyone would know that he is the one who made it happen. People need to know that God is real, that there's one true God and one Savior, Jesus Christ. And this miracle baby is biblical proof that the Lord is real. There are times when God doesn't give his people what they pray for until things have gone on for so long that it is impossible, humanly speaking, to get it any other way. And that certainly was the case with Abraham and Sarah and the baby that God promised. Verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord?" Speaking of Abraham, being old also. Sarah thinks these men are out of their minds. Me, have a baby? I am 90 and I am worn out and my husband is 100 and he isn't much to brag about either. Let's just be honest. So she laughs. And it's one of those you're crazy types of laughs. 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And someone might respectfully respond, Lord, why are you asking why? Sarah is 90, and you say she's going to have her first baby. That's why she's laughing. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? I wouldn't say that to God, but I might think it. But you know what? That's no reason to laugh. It is always wrong to laugh or scoff at the Word of God. And verse 14 gives us the reason why. 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have that son. Never doubt the Bible. Never doubt the Word of God. Doubting God's Word is doubting God's character and His honesty and His willingness to do what He says He will do. Nothing is too hard for God. You know, God never promises more than He's able to deliver and more than He will deliver. If we're going to live by faith, we got to remember that.